Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. Glad you're with us. Our last one of the week. We're live in noon hour on Thursday, and you know what that means. Nothing.
Nothing.
It's just, nothing. Just a little bit earlier because I have a doctor's appointment in a few hours, and my goal when all my treatment is over and I'm well again after this terrible ordeal I'm about to go through is I want as many holes poked in. I want to look like, let's now, who would it be? Would it be Kurt Cobain, Lenny Bruce? Who else? Who are the great people that died of just horrendous numbers of needles being put in their arm?
Well, Kurt Cobain had one giant hole put in him. That was a little different, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We get your point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very attractive. Okay. This is the list. This is the list. What does Trump not eating really mean?
Funny.
Gag orders back in place. Big deal.
Oh, good deal.
The road to dictatorship. Do you care? And of course, U is just the letter U because that's how the kids do it. Yeah. Another take on why Trump won't win, no matter what it looks like. So that's kind of the opposite of the road to dictatorship. Do you care? Are you on Team Ron or Team Gavin?
Oh, now there's a good one.
Elon unplugged.
Yeah.
And sucking the soul out of the Carolinas.
Jeez. That's a pretty strong list. Let's start with, I don't know. It's not the thrill in Manila. It's not the rumble in the jungle.
Yeah.
Team Ron or Team Gavin, you pick a side.
Right. Right. They agreed to do this little sit down with Sean Hannity several months ago. Remember? This was about the same time that Elon Musk was going to fight Mark Zuckerberg. Right. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was this moment where that was the new thing. You gotta duke it out with your number one foe. And of course, the Elon Musk Zuckerberg thing never did occur. But this is going to occur tonight. I guess this is on Fox. And Sean Hannity, who is now good friends with Gavin Newsom, they just get along swimmingly. That's just the guy is just, he's the best, isn't he, Britt?
Well, do you think Hannity does that just to piss off Democrats? Do they think somehow if Sean Hannity likes this guy, there must be something wrong with him?
No. This is what this is. It's just proof that Sean Hannity is a complete phony.
Yeah.
Because if you had any fidelity to what you do on the air, any fidelity, if there was any genuineness to it, you just are not going to become quote unquote friends with someone who's so politically opposite of you and represents everything you make fun of and trash on an hourly basis, if not a minute by minute basis. So his viewers apparently don't see that disparity. I'm not saying that you have to become enemies with everybody who's politically opposite of you, but this idea that they just kind of hit it off. They're simpatico. That was the word that was used, I believe, by Hannity. And thus he's able to broker this debate with Ron DeSantis. You know, I would almost say that Sean Hannity is the Henry Kissinger of our time. Okay, sorry.
Does that mean that, that means you wish he was assuming room temperature like
secretary? That was not helpful. Okay, I can already tell you what the headlines will be tomorrow. Ready?
Ready.
Everybody won, nobody lost.
Right.
And Sean Hannity looked even better. that's what it's going to be.
That's how because you feel.
There's going to be a lot of laughs. There's going to be, because it's just not the same. Because these guys aren't running for office against each other. There's there's going to be a there's going to be a lot of, you know, I agree with you on that, but here's the difference, and here's why California is better than Florida. Here's why Florida, and it's going to be more collegial and courteous than you would. And I guess at one level, we should say, isn't that how this is supposed to be? Isn't this the United States? Isn't this where we sit down and air out our differences with words and not with with weapons, with threats, and with things of that sort? So as loathsome and horrendous a human piece of scuzz as Sean Hannity really is, and he really is, even if you hear, oh, you know, he's really a nice guy, if you don't, sorry.
I'm tired
Can't
of
divorce that.
That
from what he does in his career, and in his very Trumpian way, he has convinced and intimidated. What percentage of our industry, if you still say we're in it, of our industry to go along with Sean Hannity, even though we all know he's a liar and a phony? What percentage?
90. I mean, to be very conservative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, now if he fell from grace all of a sudden and he was kicked to the curb, they'd fall off. Their support would be nothing because they're a bunch of sycophantic idiots.
Right. Right. It'd be on to the next thing.
I mean, to a lot of people, at least in our business, if you want to call talk radio our business, whatever that industry is, he represents the ideal career. Nothing to say and do it for a long period of time and make a shit ton of money. That's what Sean Hannity's done all these years. Yeah. I mean, we talked to a lot of people and he made a business and a living out of having Rush Limbaugh as an opening act for a number of years. And then he got on television and beat up on Alan Combs. And then all of a sudden they kicked Alan Combs to the curb. And he's not had an original thought probably since about 1986. And he's made a shit ton of cash. He's done very well with that. I think Gavin Newsom has enough of the dog in him, if I may use football terminology, which means he's a big enough asshole where he could try to score some points tonight. I don't think he's going to lay back because he sees just a major league weakling in Ron DeSantis. He really does.
If they are not careful and they get down in the weeds trying to argue statistically over which state handled the pandemic better, well, we had 110,000 deaths in Florida, and in California, there were 130,000 deaths. But if you adjust for the size of the population and then the aid, if they get down into that, they're going to lose everybody real fast. If not, if they stick to philosophical stuff, they'll be okay. And they're both capable of doing that.
I want the ugly personal attacks. I want the cheap shots. I want all of that. I want the cheap shots. I want the insulting the other guy's intelligence. I want California sucks. It's not really America. Florida sucks. It's not really America. I want that. Now,
I know what you want. You want Gavin Newsom, the governor of California and the former husband of Don Jr.'s fiance, Kimberly Guilfoyle, who now lives in Florida. You want Newsom to say to DeSantis, you can have her. She can. She's all yours, Florida.
You got my leftovers.
That's what you want. That's what you want, and you know you're not going to get it.
I want DeSantis to say something like, "Well, that's why you don't have that hot woman, that hot wife anymore." And Gavin Newsom will go, "Well, you can have her. You can have my leftovers, and so can Don Jr. I got the best part of it."
There you go.
That's the stuff that we want.
And then they can they're going to argue over Disney because Disney is essentially a company of two different states, Florida and California. So they'll argue over that and the rest of it. Okay. Trump not eating. Trump not eating.
It was a story that we talked about yesterday for a little bit yesterday. It's a new anecdote in the Liz Cheney book.
Right. And I'm going to parse it here.
Okay.
Because all we're seeing and hearing is that Trump was so depressed after he lost. Apparently he knew he lost, that he, quote, was not eating. And the sentence ends right there. You never hear anything after that. So does not eating continue with not eating as much as he normally does? Is he not eating at the same rate that he normally does? He's eating more. You see, I just don't believe that Donald Trump went on a personal hunger strike. Not buying it for just a sec. Because you're supposed to believe that this was a personal starvation moment, a moment where the guy falls into depression. So, no, people like Donald Trump, who, if they ever did have the ability to get depressed because they can't process real life information like a normal person, they'd be stuffing their face, nervous eating. He wouldn't stop eating. Agree or disagree?
I completely agree with that. I 100% agree with that. There's no way.
He would, come on. If one Big Mac or two Big Macs was the normal fare, the pressure several days after the election of knowing that he lost and already trying to put into gear everything that we saw subsequent to that, that's not someone that wouldn't be eating while they're doing that. That right. would be someone that would just be constantly shoveling it in.
It's the narcissism. I don't know that you could ever get Donald Trump depressed enough over anything that he would stop eating.
Right.
I mean, that's just not the narcissism is so deep within him.
That's right.
If a woman left him, no. If his kids stopped talking to him, no. You know, the regular stuff that would cause any of us to be off our game, to stay in the bed for 18 hours a day, or to keep eating, stop eating, or to not stop eating. Stuff like that just doesn't affect him. It's always about him. So, no, that's why it's all, God, that anecdote, though, does tell you so much about the psychopathy, really, of Kevin McCarthy. If he ever passed that on or believed it in any way, he's either stupid or beyond psychotic, right?
You can't be both if you're Kevin McCarthy.
Well,
why is it an either or? Point there. What are you doing?
That guy was a Speaker of the House for 8 months, a good 8 months in this country's history, and he's passing on anecdotes like that and apparently believing them. He's, oh, Liz, it's bad.
Well, they think he's going to quit the entire gig, the whole congressional seat that he still holds, even though he's not Speaker anymore, before Christmas. He's out of there. He's done. And that wouldn't surprise anybody, just the same way that Paul Ryan quit and John Boehner quit after they lost their speakerships. They didn't hang around. The only person who's too stubborn after they were run out of their speakership was Nancy Pelosi. She left totally disgraced, as we all know. Yet she's still there. What's wrong with that woman, Britt? See, that's the difference. She left of her own volition. She set up the mechanism for succession for not just her, but the couple of positions right below her. And she still gets to be in the Congress and will leave of her own volition with dignity, not with her tail between her legs going back to California like Kevin McCarthy. Did you see these 6 takeaways from the Liz Cheney book? This is pretty good stuff. Remember, it's always worse than we thought. Trump Republicans took Cheney's stand personally. Oh my God. The men didn't like her tone. And they said she wasn't contrite enough for breaking with the party and embarrassing them and putting them on the spot for questions about why they still supported Trump, who tried to overturn the election and hold on to power. How dare she? They took it personally. Ooh. The Cheney family lost friends over Trump. Dick Cheney, Lynn Cheney. Good for them. Not good that they lost the friends, but good for them that as loathsome a figure in history as Dick Cheney could turn out to be, that again, when the pressure was on, he stuck with Liz Cheney. And even if that's at the cost of being friends with all the fuck faces who are Republicans, and they're good for them. Good for Dick Cheney.
Absolutely.
Here's another name coming back right at us again. Liz Cheney forging a strange bedfellows relationship with Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
This is a good one. Brian Kilmeade, the seventh string Fox host from the morning show, tried to broker a reconciliation between Liz Cheney and Trump. And her response was, no, thanks, not interested. Good. Of course. Of course. No, she didn't get on an airplane and fly down there and have her picture taken with Trump with a thumbs up.
Well, you're not going to make the Brian Kilmeade, Henry Kissinger obvious. Yeah,
it's so obvious. Why do I even have to say? Would that be National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger or Secretary of State Henry Kissinger?
one of the great guys at all times, as far as presenting, you know, diplomacy. And there's Brian Kilmeade right on his tail, trying to negotiate some sort of peace between Liz Cheney and Donald Trump. I wouldn't want a piece of anything that Brian Kilmeade was selling to me. Fuck that. Good for her.
Six takeaways. Liz Cheney knew her stance would probably unseat her. Of course she did. That's not a who guys. But here's the crazy one at the end. The Oath Keepers rallied around Ronnie Jackson, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who still had an office inside the Capitol. And on January 6th, they decided they need to cover him. They got his cell phone number. They were all trying to help him out. They're like the Hell's Angels and the Rolling Stones. Okay.
Altamont.
Except of course, Ronnie Jackson, a much better guitar player than Keith Richards. A lot of people don't know that. Ronnie Jackson to this day says he knows nothing about that, which means, of course it's 100% true.
Yeah.
Lord. All right. Well,
he drank away that memory. That's what that says right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Gag order back into effect. Here we go.
Yeah.
Trump can't make public statements about the staff of Judge Arthur Erdogan in New York and Manhattan Supreme Court, who's presiding over the trial over Trump lying his fucking ass off over everything ever in the history of ever. A four-judge appellate panel lifted a temporary suspension of the gag order. So there was a gag order. It was put on ice. And now, on appeal, it's back in place. Okay? Got it. And it was a big one-line ruling, which is shut the fuck up and gag orders back in there.
Again.
God.
But you say
the narrow order.
You're saying it doesn't matter.
I don't think, of course it doesn't matter. He's going to keep yakking. He wants them to put him in jail. He wants the martyrdom.
Right.
He wants the martyrdom. He absolutely wants it. Oh my God. He'd be off the campaign trail over the weekend. What are we going to do? He's already been fined $15,000. Where's he going to come up with that? And he still can attack the judge. He can still attack the Attorney General, Letitia James. They're not part of the gag order. Why? I guess because that wouldn't look good. If you impose a gag order to protect yourself, then that just shows you really are prejudiced against bullshit.
Hmm.
That's just bullshit. On Wednesday, which was yesterday, as we speak today, Thursday, Trump had already sent out at least six separate posts targeting Engeron's wife, accusing her of criticizing Trump. Which, by the way, she's not allowed to criticize, as you know. And of course, the accusation was a complete lie because Ms. Engeron doesn't even have a Truth Social account. She doesn't have an account on X and has never posted any anti-Trump messages. See, Trump gets this misinformation from these crazies like that nutcase Laura Loomer from Florida. And but this is not enough. This is not enough. He wants he needs to be sat in prison from now until the end of the year with no phone and no ability to speak to the outside world. Yeah, that's what we want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Sometimes to save democracy, you have to skirt along the edges of democracy, right? You have to burn the village to save it. It's one of those. Oh, God, we're back to Kissinger again. And everything goes back to him, doesn't it?
Back to Kissinger. 100 yep. years old, though. That's a pretty good – he made it to a pretty good mark there. 100. Yeah.
You know, he was kind of the Travis Kelce of his era, really kind of a playboy ladies man kind of guy.
Is that right? And,
well, he was thought of that way, and even though he looked like a little nebbish a guy, and it was all about, this is my recollection as a younger guy in my teens and 20s when Kissinger was in power, that the excuse about Henry Kissinger's sex appeal was that power, the ultimate aphrodisiac. And that's what they do. So you would see Henry Kissinger, right, who looked like this little schlibby guy standing next to Jill St. John Zsa Gabor.
Right.
Or whoever was the Diane Sawyer.
Did he ever
There's fool- nobody you can.
Was he one of the ones that was linked with Barbara Walters at one point?
With everybody. Okay. But as I read today, it was all bullshit. He was a very cold individual. Nothing ever happened usually on any of these liaisons that we thought were things. They were nothings. And it was all shtick, which he couldn't control at a certain point, because I know this is hard to believe, but we were just as interested in fluff and crap back then as we are now.
It's just easier to distribute now. It's just way easier to distribute.
Right.
I believe in the Oliver Stone film Nixon, the one that stars Anthony Hopkins as Richard E. Nixon. I think Paul Sorvino plays the part of Henry Kissinger. And one of the great lines of Henry Kissinger, at least in that film, was as Nixon leaves the room after some tirade, he says, "Imagine how great he could have been if he would have been loved." One of the great what ifs of history, really.
Yeah. So the obituaries on Kissinger range from, you know, most powerful Secretary of State post-war era, helped shape the post-World War II Cold War response to communism, definitely kind of ran the war in Vietnam, increased the bombing, expanded the war, elongated the war. He's a war criminal, right? All those things.
One of the most documented non-presidents we've ever had as far as governmental. Yeah. There's lots and lots and lots of books and papers and everything else about it. I think I've got a book myself about Kissinger and Nixon, just about their relationship.
Yeah. Henry. Come over. Let's get down on our knees and pray.
I'm not the praying man, so. Yeah.
Henry Kissinger. All right. Yesterday at 5:00 Eastern time, as I want to do on many weekdays, I put on not WNBC, but CNBC.
CNBC.
Yeah, no, it's CNBC.
CNBC.
They cut away from their regular yak fest at 5:00 to show Elon Musk being interviewed by Andrew Ross Sorkin, who may be the best interviewer on television.
He's good.
He just may be.
He's very good.
He He knew exactly how far to put it in and twist it and pull it out without even Elon Musk. Well, not even Elon Musk. Elon Musk is not a very sensitive guy, but he didn't know. And he walked right into it. And for the first 45 minutes, Elon Musk was a psychotic whack job nutcase. And I knew that we were in for a ride. And by the way, they went commercial free from 5 o'clock until 6:45, the whole thing, almost 2 hours nonstop. Not going to cut away on this one. But for that first 45 minutes, he was so unhinged. He was so crazy. He was so out of his mind because Andrew Ross Sorkin, to his credit, immediately started in with anti-Semitism.
Yep.
And his destruction, his self-destruction of X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And when Elon Musk played the fuck card two times in the first 20 minutes, I knew we were in for a ride. Yep. And Andrew Ross Sorkin did not blink. He did not blanch. He did not say something like, you know, we're on TV. No. So it's probably best you not say that.
But that's why we love him. That's why we love Elon. He's unhinged. He's not like a regular CEO that wears a suit and a tie. And he watches what he says in public and doesn't smoke pot with Joe Rogan. We love Elon because he's like that. And he's crazy as shit. And he'll destroy shit for no reason. That's why we love him.
Right. And once he went down this road of, after being asked, well, what about all these advertisers that have left the platform because of the anti-Semitic statements you've made, not just recently where you agreed and passed on just some loathsome comments, but even before that, his response was, fuck them. They don't want to advertise. Fuck them. It's going to come back at them. And wait, no. And when X goes down, goes out of business, it'll be on them, not on me. Oh, now, that's some magical thinking. Yeah, he specifically named Robert Iger, CEO of Disney, who apparently was actually sitting in the audience in the Disney Corporation.
So when your company goes to shit, it's the customer's fault. Is that truly what we're saying here?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's the customer's fault. It's when Sears died the death that it died, it was the customer's fault. When Montgomery Ward, which was a huge retailer in America, took a massive shit, that was the customer's fault. Is that right? Is that what I'm hearing?
And he so misunderstands. And as I was watching him, the parallels to Trump are just unmistakable.
100%.
Either not understanding or deliberately misunderstanding easily known facts.
Yes.
You know, 2 days ago, we had Trump not knowing that MSNBC is not subject to FCC regulations, government regulation, and they can be taken off the air immediately just because, well, a president wants that to happen, right? And that's just totally not true. Cable TV is not regulated. We know
I'm
that.
Still I on my antenna. I keep scanning. I just can't find MSNBC. I keep looking for, it's just not there. I don't know what happens.
So Musk, similarly, on Wednesday evening at the New York Times Deal Book seminar with Andrew Ross Sorkin, was trying to make the case that he's being blackmailed by these advertisers. Jesus. Okay. He doesn't know what blackmailing is. He doesn't know that blackmailing is when the perpetrator, who I guess in this case would be, and they represent everyone who's dropped off from advertising on Twitter, Disney. So Disney is threatening to release all kinds of nasty information about Elon Musk unless Elon Musk pays them. There's nothing even remotely close to this going on here. It's you can't force people to advertise on your radio station, your TV station, your cable station, your online service, your social media site. You can't force them to do that. It's very, very simple. And he won't acknowledge that. He just will not acknowledge that. And to bring the word blackmail in there is crazy.
The news flash is Bob Iger doesn't have anything in a file cabinet anywhere that's more damaging than what's coming out of your fucking mouth right now, Elon.
That's true.
I mean, come on, for the love of it. And again, this almost sounds this kind of getting back to a conspiracy thing. You know, it's these Jews ganging up against me. You know, that's what this is, right?
Well, it is interesting that he did pick Iger.
It's not that hard. This is not the and as you make the comparison with Trump, his apologists would say some version of what I said a couple of minutes ago. Oh, you don't understand. He's just a non-traditional CEO. He's not going to conform to your little box. I'm sorry. There are very few truths here in the 21st century that remain constant. And I may be an old guy here, and that's fine. I want my CEO to be the most fucking uncontroversial person ever. I want him to wear the $500 Brooks Brothers suit. I want him to wear the $600 shoes. He may be getting beat by a variety of people and whipped by people in latex and leather behind closed doors, but your CEO should be just as bland as white bread. I mean, I'm not talking about in terms of skin tone. They can be whatever, but you don't want them to have any controversy to them at all. You don't want to wonder, I don't know, is he shoving a pound of Coke up his nose every evening at 6 o'clock? You don't. That's just how things work.
Well, I disagree with that as a general premise, because you can be a human being and be a CEO. You can be a colorful CEO. And then there's Elon Musk. That's a whole different thing.
Well, okay, that's fair.
Because like I said, the first 45 minutes, he was just off the rails.
Of course
just he completely, was. Completely not. And then when the topics pivoted to more business-like subjects, and he's not pushing some kind of whack job social agenda, defending himself there, and you hear his actual knowledge about certain things, you go, wow, this is pretty, we know why he's been able to invent and disrupt, the famous word, several industries, and why he's the only guy selling electric vehicles right now. I mean, they've still got way north of 50% of all the electric vehicle sales here. And, you know, but you sow the seeds of your own destruction every time you open your mouth. That's a problem. That's a problem. And it is going to come back on him at some point. And of course, in the end, what's this all about? Why is he that way? Because he can be that way. And why can he be that way? Because he's got so much money that you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. Nothing can hurt me. And you don't have to do fake humble every minute. You don't have to do that. But he really goes completely in the opposite direction.
Well, any other CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company that's publicly traded is on CNBC for that length of time. They realize it's an advertisement for shareholders, stockholders, potential stockholders. Not him. No, he doesn't get that. He doesn't understand. You're looking like a raging maniacal asshole. Here, take my money. I mean that to me is like the most. And as far as his bulletproofness. That's also being coming into question, because he's going tits up on this Twitter X thing and having to sell more and more and more parts of Tesla.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not gonna break him. If he said tomorrow, I quit, I'm writing the whole thing off, it wouldn't matter, and it wouldn't change Tesla. It would make him look bad. It would dent his reputation. Although I'm not sure whether even that would happen. That might be an enhancer. If he said tomorrow, all right, we're done. Shut it down. Close it down.
Everybody thinks they're bulletproof until they're not. Travis Kalanick thought he could not be removed from Uber. Vince McMahon thought he could not be removed from WWE and TKO. Bye-bye. See ya. At some point in time, you run out of space, you run out of oxygen, and your pride goeth before a fall, as our man Shakespeare said.
Yeah, that could be. You certainly could be right. Not gonna argue on that one. Sucking the soul out of the Carolinas.
Wow, okay. I'm ready for that one.
Guess what this one's about?
I don't know.
The headline? David Tepper has sucked the soul out of the Carolinas.
That's a great story.
Tepper hasn't just brought mediocrity to the Panthers, but apathy. Do you, before you even go into any of the details of what he said, there's been apathy about that team for a long, long time. I mean, I felt it. You felt it. Everybody feels it.
Yeah.
But if you go to these games where a huge majority of the fans are for the other team, and it doesn't just have to be Dallas or the Steelers. It can be almost any team.
Almost any team.
By the way, this is not exclusive to Charlotte and the Carolinas. One of the great frauds perpetrated on America is the L.A. Chargers. Okay. No, they are a non-entity. They don't really exist. They just exist on paper. And with the players that they send out, and in particular home games that are broadcast nationally from Los Angeles in that great SoFi Stadium, tonight it's the Chargers versus the Vikings, and they make it look like it's L.A. versus – no, L.A. does not care about that team. They are interlopers. They don't give a shit about them. They are tenants of that stadium. And they get 30,000 people a game.
Yeah.
But you don't see that on TV.
Right.
When the Rams play, the Rams are still, you know, the Los Angeles team. So there are varying degrees of that across the country. We certainly have it here. They have it there. It used to be that way for a few years during the down era of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, when the Las Vegas Raiders play, that they don't have a lot of, you know, a lot of folks get on planes and go, like, if they're from Minnesota or something like that, or New York, like, fuck it, I'm flying to Vegas for a game. And there's a lot of fans from the opposing team in that stadium in Vegas. Yeah. But for the Carolinas, there was a tremendous amount of pride, I would say, in the 90s. Because hey, we have major league sports here. I mean, they already had
the team. Man.
We're big time. We're NFL. There was some pride in that, but that has faded over the past 20 years for sure. And now the entire country is getting a load of what a jackass David Tepper is as an NFL owner. He's been very ineffective. His decision making process has been very bad. And there seems to be no way out because the draft picks belong to somebody else and things aren't going to get better anytime soon. It doesn't seem.
Now here's what the guy says. In the 23 years prior to David Tepper taking over the Panthers, the team only had four head coaches under Jerry Richardson's ownership. The organization wasn't often successful, but it was consistent. The friend you had that almost had things figured out, but you loved them even when they failed. The neighbor who would annoy you, but you find a way to remain endearing enough that you would still care about them anyway. But Tepper fostered the most damaging feeling in sports to permeate a city. Apathy. And then when you find out that he's had his fingers and his hands in every decision, bigfooting, you know, his managers and coaches, This is a hedge fund billionaire.
Well, it's not even just that. I think his wife has had some untold.
Well, that's even worse.
Influence over the shit. Which, by the way, it's not going to make the fans any happier.
Right.
People have to understand. You do get a certain amount of goodwill because people like sports. People in this country love sports, and football is a sport that we love more than any other. And NFL is the highest achievement of all of the leagues. That's the sport that everybody loves, and they open up their wallets willingly to pay for any number of NFL-based stuff. But there's a limit to everybody's patience and goodwill. Dan Snyder, line two. David Tepper, right now, as we speak in the year of our Lord 2023, may be the most hated and the worst current owner of a franchise in the National Football League. That's where we are. Dan Snyder is off counting his money somewhere. You know, the McClaskey-Hallis family, the folks in Chicago, they don't like him, but it's mostly because they're cheap. stuff like that. Shad Khan down in Jacksonville, disliked for various reasons, including that he wants a money grab for some more for stadium improvements and all that stuff.
Yeah, but they put on a good team. They got a great quarterback. That guy, right. That Trevor Lawrence.
He's good.
I got to tell you, you cannot argue with that guy. Yeah. He's got the fire in him.
No, okay? He's a win.
Maybe he's still just so excited to be away from Clemson. Okay. Just thrilled not to be
in the weakest division in football. The Panthers can't put together a competitive team.
Yeah,
I think he's the guy right now. I think he's the guy in the NFL who is the worst owner, and I think he's the most disliked right now because Dan Snyder is no longer with us, so to speak.
And when you hear him dance around the fact that they figured out a way to blow drafting C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. And this is so Trumpy. He just insists that everybody, the whole organization was so high on Bryce Young. We were all with it. And you know that's bullshit. You know that is bullshit.
I would suggest to you that if C.J. Stroud were inserted into the Carolina Panthers situation, he would not be as successful as he's been in Houston. Part of the problem that Bryce is having is that he's in the shit situation that he's in with this awful teammates and the coaching staff that's kind of this, that, and the third, and bad ownership.
Yeah, but you know what? If David Tepper and the Panthers had done the right thing, maybe they'd be doing the right thing in other areas.
It's possible.
He would have provided. But since they didn't, and they don't, this is what you get. And the idea that Bryce Young is the next Russell Wilson, that seems a long way off, no matter what.
Also the idea of the owner putting his fingers into every – I mean, Al Davis is dead. Jerry Jones, they haven't won a world championship in nigh on 30 years. So the idea that these owners need to get out there and just be – the ownership that has done very well has been modeled for letting – hiring the right people and letting them do their thing, Pittsburgh Steelers. Sorry, as a Raiders fan, I hate to say it, but the evidence is the evidence. They hire good people, and they let them do their job, and they're competitive, and in the playoffs, way more than they're not. And that's why the Rooney family is beloved among a lot of Pittsburgh fans. That's just the way it is, kids.
No argument. They are. And the other teams that are kind of, and by the way, no, Dallas hasn't won a Super Bowl in 30 years, but they're usually pretty competitive. They're not 1-10. Okay.
Oh yeah. No.
We're in an exceptional situation here right now.
It is.
And again, this is like the Elon Musk problem. Tepper has so much money. It just doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And in this case, he's already doubled or tripled his investment from buying the team. As bad as they are, there'd be some idiot that would be willing to come along and pay him a nice tidy profit to get out of there if he wanted to.
I did. So I truly appreciate
how it doesn't matter what I do.
I truly appreciate how he screwed over the state of South Carolina when they were throwing money at him to get all the offices and everything down to South Carolina. And then Rock Hill could not pass the ordinance they need to give him even more money. And he was like, peace out. Buildings that were half built stayed half built. That I loved. I thought that was great. I could go with that all day, but it's very funny now that there's a national spotlight on the incompetence and the intransigence of this guy.
All right. Last bit of contrasting concepts here. The first one, and it's a big, long piece, if you want to, shouldn't be hard to find. It's in the Washington Post today. It's by Robert Kagan, and it runs through all of the things that could happen, unfortunately, in terms of things that might fall into place to get Trump back into power. And it includes the fact that they're all going to fall in line, every damn one of them. It doesn't matter what they're saying right now. They're going to fall in line. It's going to happen. It's a good piece. Highly recommend it. Not going to read excerpts from it. On the opposite side, why can't Trump win? Why won't he win? You know who Brian Karam is, the reporter Brian Karam? You know, he used to stand up at some of the Trump press conferences and just piss the shit out of Trump. I think he was working for Playboy at the time. And he's still out there writing. And he's writing for Salon right now. And his theory is, it's kind of the opposite of Kagan. It's kind of the opposite of they're all going to fall in line. It is this, that we know that most Republicans, most of them actually do dislike Donald Trump. And I'm not just talking about politicians. Even people who say they like him, they probably really don't. And that he has made so many enemies over time that they really don't want Trump to come back into power. And people will do whatever they have to do to make sure this doesn't happen. It's a very optimistic way of looking at things. It's kind of tough to think that that's how, I don't know whether that's just magical thinking or not. But you can find all kinds of references to things like that. For instance, in the Liz Cheney book, where she knew at the time that there were so many people in Congress who were Republicans who agreed with her that Trump deserved no support. Trump should have been not just impeached, but convicted. But they all took the easy road out. Mm-hmm. And here we are coming up on 4 years later. And the last hope, which is going to go by the wayside here, which is just something is going to happen to make sure that Trump doesn't get elected again. Well, something isn't going to happen unless we make it happen. It can't just be we hope it doesn't happen, because we have a lot of really stupid people who don't realize that this isn't a race between two people. It's a race between democracy and whatever is on the other side of that dark door, which is a dictator dissembling the mechanisms of democracy as we have played it here in the United States. Not perfectly. You know, we do make mistakes, and we do have people like Henry Kissinger running our foreign policy for 8 years, doing quote unquote whatever it takes to advance American interests, even while we tell everyone we're a shining city on the hill. But you see that village, burn it down. You see that country, bomb it. We're not perfect. We're not even close, but we're still the last best hope. And if Donald Trump becomes the president again in a second term, I don't know where that hope goes. I really, really don't. And I hate to think that we have so many people who are willing to just fall in line and think, you know, I know it's bad, but it isn't going to affect me. Mm. They're not coming after me. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not trying to cross into the country illegally. If some TV station goes, or if MSNBC went off the air tomorrow, would that affect my life? Nah.
Right.
No big deal. And that's where we're at. Karam is convinced that there are so many people, not just people like us, but people who are, quote, on the Republican side, who know that we can't abide a second Trump term. But I don't know whether they're willing to publicly and effectively work to make sure that that doesn't happen, because we know what that would really take. It would take Republicans saying, not only am I not going to vote for Donald Trump, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden.
Right.
And as long as we have all these people who say, when they're asked, well, would you support Trump if he was the nominee? Their first response is, well, I can't vote for Joe Biden. Well, you've given yourself away.
That's right.
You have given yourself away. And not only that, and these are usually well-to-do, well-educated people who are not dying, and they're not losing their minds because the price of food is 25% higher than it was before the pandemic. These are not those kind of people. These are people who know better. Mm-hmm. Yet they're still willing to sell their souls, and they are benefiting from this economy. They are the ones who are benefiting from it, yet they still won't. They still won't break in a meaningful way. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope there are a lot of Liz Cheneys who just haven't come out yet. I hope there are. What do you think?
I share your hope. A lot of the people who worked with Trump, Cassidy Hutchinson and various others, who said, look, if it happens again, if he's elected president again, there will not be any governor on him. There will not be any speed bumps. It was only going to be, you know, and I don't know if we could take it. And I think that that is the story that certainly needs to be told. But yeah, it's a scary time that we're even considering this. And I certainly hope that the American people at the last moment will make the right decision. But there are a lot of people out there who know that this guy's bad for democracy and bad for this country. But yeah, I don't know. Stock market portfolio is looking pretty good. Everything's working out pretty good for me. I'll go ahead and take it.
And if Trump's president, it'll get even better.
Yeah,
really?
That's okay. Right. That's right.